For the recording, this is the Standing Committee on for Improvements and Implementation meeting.
Good morning, everybody. It's 9 o'clock Toronto time, and we would like to start. And
Excuse me, this is the operator. Would you like me to start the recordings before you start?
Shall we start the recording? Yes, please.
Okay, let me just join them in one moment. I'll let you know when they're joined.
Okay. It's just like a teleconference.
Okay, thank you. This call is being recorded. You may begin.
Okay.
Hello. Good morning, everybody. May I ask people from the members of the SCI, the Steering Committee on Improvement Implementation, to come to the table? Others interested could also share us here at the table. And please take your seats. We would like to start. We have just 1 hour for the SCI meeting. By the way, this is not the official overall GNSO session right now, but it's part of GNSO activities here. This is a meeting of the Standing Committee of Improvements Implementation of the GNSO. May I ask for a roll call, please. Is Glenn is on Toronto 45. Yes. Okay. Okay, maybe Glenn will come here. Mr. Chuck Gomes, please stay away from Glenn. And Glenn, may I ask you to do a roll call, please?
Bladel?
Present.
Ray Fassett? Is Ray perhaps on remote participation?
Glenn, it's Jonathan. Ray said he wasn't going to participate. I'm the alternate from the registry stakeholder group.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Ron Andruff? Angie Graves? Wolf Ulrich Knoben.
Yes.
Tony Holmes. But Tony is your alternate. J. Scott Evans.
Present.
Anne Aikman-Scalesi.
Present.
Avery Doria. Yep. Mary Wong. Mary isn't here. Carlos Aguirre.
Here.
And Alain Béranger. I saw Alain earlier this morning, but he does not seem to be here. Jennifer Stanford. Standiford. And have we anyone on the phone?
We have Julia Chauvelin.
Thank you very much. Over to you, Wolf Ulrich Norbert.
Yes, thank you, Glenn. We have an agenda, but before we go to the agenda, I would like to ask if anybody has to disclose something with regarding his or her statement of interest. In this group, I see none. Please, over here. James, please.
Thanks, Wolf. And I don't know if I posted this to the list, but we have changed our delegation to this group from registrars, and that myself and Jennifer Standiford will now be representing registrars as the primary and secondary reps, respectively. Not really a change of my statements of interest, but more just the registrar delegation change.
Yes, I saw that. Thank you, James. Going to the... So Mary is just... Hi, Mary, good morning. Yeah. Going to the agenda, any comment, any additional items? I see none. So let's go to the first point, deferral of motions. You remember that was in an item or coming up from the genus of council. Then we have on the council level, we have the normal unwritten rule that every motion could be deferred once. And then there was a request to defer motion several times, and then there was a need seen that the CSI is going to handle that and to discuss that and to come up with a proposal how to handle that in future. We had a lot of discussion about that, and we discussed this practice, and we discussed also whether we see a need to amend the rules or to come up with a procedure outlining the deferral in detail. But at the last meetings, we came more or less to the to a conclusion that we were thinking that the deferral of motion was done as a kind of a matter of courtesy at the discretion of the chair of the GNSO council. So we understood if that would be the case, then it may not be necessary to come up with a formal procedure on that, rather than to explicitly state that there is no must behind that, that though there is no necessity for the chair that he or she can exercise the same discretion in each case. In each case, when a deferral is asked for. So then we came up with a text which was proposed by Jay Scott, and I would like, I think that would be helpful, because we had that on the list and we had also some smaller amendments, but no direct opposition to that. I would like to read that text and go the round here and ask whether we could live with that text and then discuss what we shall do with that text and how we shall deal with it towards the genus or council. Let me just briefly read that text. After, well, the SCI the SCI discussed this practice, whether there was a need to create a procedure to formalize this informal practice. After much debate, the SCI concluded that the current practice of allowing for the deferral of motions was done as a matter of courtesy at the discretion of the chair of the Genus of Council. For this reason, the SCI concluded that there was no need to create a formal procedure at this time. However, the SCI felt that it was necessary to explicitly state that there is no rule that the chair must always exercise his or her discretion in the affirmative. Given that the current informal practice is at the discretion of the chair can exercise that same discretion in considering whether to grant or deny any request, and can also exercise his or her discretion when determining how to handle any specific situation that may occur with regard to this informal practice. So that was a status we have at the time being, and I would like to open the floor for discussion or for comments.
Just before you do that, could you just wait for the technician to make an announcement, please?
I'll just make a quick announcement.
Yes, so well, we have a quick announcement from the technical side, and then Wendy.
New for ICANN this meeting is that there is no open wireless network. It is all secured. So for those of you trying to get on, it is the password is Toronto 45, and it's a capital T, no spaces.
Thank you very much. Very helpful to all of us. Toronto 45.
Why is that? I don't have the answer for why that is, but I do know that there is no more open networks for security.
Okay. We could discuss that in the public meeting. Yeah.
Thank you. To me, that this looks like the worst of both worlds. We have neither codified a clear rule nor acknowledged that we are a body that can trust the chair to exercise his discretion without further description of that discretion. So I would not favor including text like this. I would either favor including no text at all or formalizing with an actual rule rather than formalized discretion.
Thank you. Wendy and James, please.
Hi, James Bladel speaking, and I would like to agree with Wendy. This is seems like our advice is to give no advice, and I think in our efforts to be helpful, we perhaps made this issue a little worse. One recommendation I might have to make this language more palatable is if we see that sentence where it says, there was no need to create a formal procedure at this time, period, full stop, and drop everything that occurs afterwards. I'm not sure if there's any babies in that bathwater that we would be throwing out, but it seems like that's a reasonable place to stop. Otherwise, I think it just muddies the waters after that. Thanks.
Thanks, James. Marika, please, yeah.
Yeah, this is Rick. Maybe just to clarify that, because I think, as I understand, this is just a proposed response to the Genus of Council. There's not a proposal to include this in the operating procedures or anything like that, if I'm correct. I think this is just a reply that the SCI is providing. So I just want to make that clear, that that's the intent of this response.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan.
Yeah, Marika, just to follow on from that, it's Jonathan. Is there anything in the operating procedures covering this at this stage? As far as I'm aware, there is not, right?
This is Rick. I think you're correct. There's nothing in the operating procedures that talks about deferrals and how to handle those, but there is in the PDP manual, there are specific cases there where it's prescribed how many times a motion on, I think, on a final report may be deferred in the case of a PDP recommendation. So for that specific case, I think there are some formal rules in the bylaws. I think they do allow as well some discretion. I mean, we need to look up the language, but basically recommends the council to, you know, not defer more than once, if possible.
May I ask you, Jonathan, what is your question behind that? That you think it might be necessary to have on a rule?
not necessarily. It was a follow-up to Marika saying that, clarifying that this was not intended to go into the procedures, and so I wanted to make it clear to all present that there was nothing else. And it wasn't. It wasn't even as though this would be substituting. There isn't anything in the procedures at the moment. It is purely discretionary or custom and practice as at the moment.
Okay, Chase Scott, please. You know, with regards to the critics we've heard with regarding the language that comes after the full stop that James talked about, that was part of the consensus that came up with, on the call, was that we wouldn't take any formal action as so long as there was language in the response to the GNSO that explicitly stated that there was no automatic, it shouldn't be construed as an automatic affirmative. Because there was some concern that people believed that because it was an informal practice, that meant it always had to be granted, that it could never, there could never be an occasion where the chair could say no. So everyone felt like that should be stated, that it should be stated that that discretion is not always automatically an affirmative. And I don't see the harm in stating that for the record. You know, I understand that there are many people who say, well, we're telling them how to exercise their discretion, and the whole point is, yes, we are. We're telling them what our expectation is, that that discretion can be exercised either in the affirmative or in the negative. And there were people who felt like we don't need to take any formal action and develop a procedure so long as that point is made clear. So I don't see the danger or the harm in our response setting that out, especially since it's not becoming any sort of formalized procedure. It's just saying we want to remind you that one of the reasons we didn't think there needed to be a formal procedure is because that discretion can be handled in a number of ways.
Jonathan again, please.
Yeah, I must say, I tend to go with Jay Scott on this, so I wouldn't mind Wendy clarifying exactly where she does see the harm in this. I mean, as it happens, I mean, in some ways, I might prefer a more concrete suggestion but or more concrete proposal. But given that this the proposal is not to essentially change the practice, but rather to attempt to clarify current practice, I would like to understand, you know, the potential harm or where this is, what the problem with this is.
Randy, would you, please?
Yes, so I would, specifically I would disagree and would suggest that I would favor, in fact, changing the practice to a formalized rule. And if we're not doing that, I do not agree with the characterization of discretion there. While there may have been unanimity among the group that was participating in the calls, I was not on those calls and don't agree.
Well, Harvey, please. Yeah.
I mean, I tend to agree that the sentence is extraneous. If there is a rule, I think it has to be fairly complex rule, but I see what you mean about his or her discretion in the affirmative. I think if it wanted to be balanced and we really wanted to have such a sentence, it would be at his discretion in the affirmative or the negative, because we've had an assumption that a second deferral was presumed negative. But if we're going to make it truly open to the chair's discretion, then the chair's got the discretion to do it as many times as they want.
This is J. Scott Evans. I have absolutely no problem with that. The whole idea is just to say that, you know, you don't have a default. Either way, you have discretion. And to explicitly state that the reason there doesn't need to be an affirmative is because the discretion can take, there doesn't need to be a formal procedure, is because, you know, the discretion will take care of that. Take care of it. So I have no problem with adding or the negative into that sentence. None whatsoever. And again, this is just a response to the council with regards to the question they ask us. This is not in any way making a formal procedure of any type.
Before I refer to Wendy again with a question, then James, sure. Yeah.
So just quickly, I'm certainly not my intention to blow up any consensus, particularly since I was absent from the last call. But I feel a lot less strongly about this pending Marika's clarification that this isn't getting baked into the operating procedures. But is there a crisper way to say at the discretion of the chair and lose three or four or five lines of that language? I'm just saying I'm concerned that we're trying to describe what discretion looks like, verbosely. But I've lost my my concern because this is not, as we've mentioned, this is just more of a response to counsel and not something that's going to be hard-coded into the procedure.
Have you had that? Harvey, please.
Yeah, I mean, I personally thought that at the discretion of the chair was good enough, but we seem to have problems with the definition of the word discretion and with complete trust of the chair's discretion. So I guess we wanted to dig down into what discretion meant. But personally, I think you're right. I think discretion says it all, as long as we understand what discretion means and we trust our chairs.
Yes, thank you. Maybe Marika, some further.
Yeah, and this is Marika, and this is maybe an issue for the SCI to consider at a future date, because something indeed what we did discover when looking at this language and looking, for example, at the working group guidelines, there is very specific guidance on the role of the chair and also what working group members can do to challenge a chair's decision if they don't agree. There are certain procedures in place that they can follow. But actually, for the GNSO council chair, that doesn't exist. There's nothing in the operating procedures that actually describes the role of the chair and also a mechanism to challenge or kind of procedure to address if members of the council feel that the chair is not fulfilling his role as it's supposed to or challenge some of his or her decisions. So that might be something in the future when we come to the stage of reviewing the operating procedures, that might be an element that might need to be considered, also looking at the model that the GNSO working group guidelines have taken in that regard.
Thanks, Marika. Regarding to Wendy's question, Wendy, is that the direction of explanation, would that help? Well, depending on the final wordings in the text. So I understand that we have to modify a bit more and to be more careful in explaining what we are meaning with discretion. So is that the direction you could accept to go there? Because I understood you at first that you just say, okay, either have a formal rule or leave it as it is. That was my understanding from your wording before.
So, yes, if we excise everything after at the discretion of the chair, I think that's a cleaner restatement of where we are right now.
I was in the meeting when Stefan didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. He knew he had discretion, but he didn't know what to do. And so all this does is say, has a group of people who've looked at it, who said we don't need to have a formal procedure, and just sort of says, you can grant it, you don't have to grant it, and in deciding whether to grant it, that's the last sentence, you can use that same discretion to decide how that's going to occur. You can do it on your own, you can have a vote, you can do, But he didn't know what to do. He knew he had discretion, but he didn't know what to do. And we've been asked as a group to look at that and decide. And we said, well, there doesn't need to be a formal procedure, but perhaps there needs to be a bit of explanation. And that's what we've provided here. It still allows the chair to exercise that discretion. It just says, reasonable minds who have looked at this have said, you need to know that it's in your discretion. You can grant it, you can deny it, and you can use that discretion to decide how to grant or deny it. That's all we've done, and I don't see why this is such a big deal. We're not changing the operating procedures. We're simply answering a question that was asked to us. I see your point about leaving out negative, which leads you to believe that it's trying to push one way or the other. I'm fine with that, by adding that to make it balanced. But I don't understand why this is such a big deal. I figured this would be over in 5 minutes, and now we've been doing this for 10.
Anyway, what was it, Wendy? Or then first Avi and then Chuck?
Thanks. I just want to explain why it was a big deal. It became a big deal simply because somebody asked for a deferment, one of the stakeholder groups asked for a deferment at a time at which others did not want one. And so this then became a cause for issue. If it had just gone normally as it had always gone in the past, no, there would be no big deal. But since a point was made of it, in the only case where people decided that they wanted to stop a normal deferral, it became a big deal. So let's not forget the history of this big deal. And that's why it's somewhat important to not overblow it.
Anyway, we are dealing only with really important matters here. Chuck, please.
Thanks. Well, I think it is a big deal if a stakeholder group or constituency has requested time for further consideration because there wasn't enough time to use the bottom-up process within our groups. And I'm not sure it should be discretionary then. Now, obviously, it comes down to the point where, okay, how much is enough time? But there are times when we really haven't had time to vet it properly with our groups. And if we want to be representative, I'm not sure it should be discretionary there. Now, there may need to be some guidelines because that can be abused. But it really is important that we always have time to vet decisions with our stakeholder group or constituencies. And in those cases, I'm not sure it should be discretionary.
Thank you. So where we are with that? So we have, on the one hand, this suggestion not to amend the rules, but explain where we are and leave it at the discretion of the chair. One point came to my mind as well in this discussion. So when I look back to in the history of what we did, there was at least one deferral which was granted any time in the past. There was no question about discretion of chair. It was just granted. So, does it make a difference, you know, when from the first time it is up to the discretion of the chair, theoretically, it could happen that a deferral from the first time wouldn't be granted because it's up to the discretion of the chair. So is that an issue or a real problem for anybody here that this may happen and that we should discuss in that way and find out a way how we can overcome that? That's my question. Jonathan?
Well, certainly as I've understood it, Wolf, the principle of an automatic first deferral based on the rationale that Chuck just described a moment ago, in other words, to give the opportunity for due process to take place in the groups, should a motion have come up in a certain sequence or for whatever reason there had been inadequate time for its consideration. It's clear it's clear to me, it seems, that's a necessary condition. And so I would favour an automatic deferral at the first instance. Mm-hmm. However, we had a particular issue where there was a concern that wasn't the motivation for the deferral, which is what's given rise to this problem, or that there were concerns over why that there may be certain circumstances in which a deferral may be used, including in the first instance, when time pressures were such that the deferral was being proposed for another reason. So that's clearly the one exception we faced. Other than that, I haven't noticed in my time, but whether automatic first deferral has been a problem. One other remark is that the sense I have is that we are all under some pressure to, continuous pressure to improve throughput through the council. So that to the extent that we can avoid that first deferral, we should strive to do so. But nevertheless, that's notwithstanding the principle that Chuck mentioned, which is if and when it's necessary to consult properly, it's a very valuable tool to have in our armory.
Jay Scott first, and Marilyn, then Jeff.
One for the record, when I said big deal, I wasn't talking about the situation. I was talking about passing this language that just said you had discretion. Secondly, with regards to the folks who think we need to have, you know, an automatic or not automatic, or we need to be able, we had those discussions pretty in depth, and the majority felt like it was taking, it was making a rule over one specific situation where something had been working over a period of time with no problem. And everyone felt like the light touch was the better rather than to over process this. And those of us who wanted a formal procedure said, fine, we're willing to concede that point, provided we explicitly state in our response that that discretion, there is not a default with regards to how that discretion is to be exercised. And so that was the compromise. That's what you see here. And so I remain happy to allow the discretion of the chair for the, because the idea was, well, if it becomes a problem, we'll look at it again. That was sort of how everyone felt, as I remember the call. And I'm happy to live with that, but I am not happy with a full stop after discretion, because the chair didn't know what to do. We were asked. And so I think we need to say to the GNSO Council, you have this discretion, but please understand you can exercise that discretion as you see fit. You're not, I felt like sitting in that room that day, the chair felt very much like he had no choice but to grant it. He had no choice. He had no idea what to do. And I think our answer is, you have discretion, please understand that that discretion can be exercised in the affirmative and the negative, and when deciding how to do that, you have the discretion to you can do it on your own, you can have a vote with the council. I mean, I just think that, and that's all we're doing, that's all we're saying, and I want it explicit on the record that there is no default. And we've conceded, we've come a long way from wanting a formal process. We've come a long way. We've met you more than halfway. And so when I say that I don't think this is a big deal, I do think it's a big deal. I do. I have been in a constituency that needed extra time because we just didn't. So I know it's important when you have volunteers around the world in different places. I get it. And I think we all know that. We've all been there. We've all been there as a person who knew other people needed it and were willing to give it. We've also been someone who needed it. But I don't think this is a big deal to set this language out in this way. I don't think it changes anything. I don't think it's accusing anything. If we put in the negative term, it doesn't seem to push you one way or the other. It doesn't seem to be coded one way or the other. And it's just a response and an answer. But I am going to be, pushing to have this language in there because that was our concession. We said we're willing to give it a light touch, as Ron Andruff had said in all of our calls, provided we get that. And that there was a consensus of the group that that was what we would do. And that's what we've done here. And I think we should move forward.
Thanks. Well, I close the line with Marilyn and Jeff, and then we come to a conclusion here. Please.
Thank you, Marilyn Cade. And just noting that I'm sitting here as the chair of the BC, and I was going to channel Ron Andruff. So I'm glad that Jay Scott actually referenced something that Ron had said. I'm thinking that maybe, listening to this, that we're dealing with what's different definitions of what words mean. But I think the intent, and the intent, I think, is to try to establish a process that is fair and balanced and also flexible enough to meet the needs of the policy development process as things happen or things change. And maybe this idea that it is an automatic deferral, the first time around, it sounds as though we didn't actually give consideration to the fact that it is a deferral that is available if certain steps are taken. And the step in this case is a constituency asked for a deferral. But for the second deferral, if there is one, I do think that we have to give some kind of loose, loose is the wrong word, but some kind of wording that shows that the chair has the responsibility to make a decision but has options to seek additional guidance from the counselors or the constituencies to support that decision. The chair is going to be put in a leadership decision where they will be facing pressure one way or the other on the decision they make. And I thought what this language provided was the option of the chair to seek a minimal vote or to seek the input which they will have been taking from the constituencies through the counselors on whether there can be a second deferral. So I'm struggling with why this language is not providing exactly the flexibility, but not without, but not total chaos that the working group was trying to give.
Thanks, Marilyn. So we wouldn't like to stand in chaos, really not. And I don't think that that item is going to bring us to the, to that point. Well, I have Jeff still, and then the very last is because she's also from the working group here, from our team, and Isavri. Then, please, Jeff.
Thanks. You know, I'd like to first kind of challenge the notion of having an automatic deferral. I think, you know, we do need to, and maybe we'll take this up more during the brainstorming session, but we do need to view how others view us and how slow we are. We're always trying to work on efficiencies in the process, and right now, between, you know, 21-day response period or a comment period followed by a 21-day reply period before it even gets to the council, then you have a council meeting, and then it gets deferred. You have potentially, if it's July, you could have 2 months that go in between because we don't meet in August. So, I mean, the process goes on, and everyone complains about how long our process takes. And frankly, they're right. It takes us such a long time that right now we actually have a lot of motions on our table that may be premature just because we know it's going to get deferred a meeting. So there are some motions there, and I may be the author of one or more of them that are on there that may be a little premature, but it's because I want it done this year, and I know at this meeting it's going to get deferred. I'd be pleasantly surprised if it wasn't deferred, but that kind of goes into the mentality of the output of working groups. You think, okay, well, this is going to get deferred a meeting automatically. So now if we want it to be done by the end of the year, we actually have to propose it in October. It gets deferred in October so we can vote on it in November. I mean, that's the kind of mentality and thinking that really I don't like. I don't like having to do that. But if we say that there's an automatic deferral, that's what happens. So I actually kind of, even though I know some of my colleagues from the registry said, you know, otherwise, I actually like this language. I like the discretion of the chair. I may not like the decision of the chair from time to time, but that should go into the re-election process or the election process of a chair. But I think they do need some discretion. There are some time-sensitive matters that need to be taken into consideration, and I don't believe in this automatic notion, and I agree with Jay Scott that at the one meeting, which this issue came up, it did seem like, well, this is what we've always done, and it has to be automatic, and it was done. I do think the chair should have discretion to call a vote or decide, and then they get judged based on what they did.
Jeff, thank you. So I have to cut this here because really be aware, we have discussed that all in our team, so we are a diverse team. We have taken into consideration the workload of the council, the time which is needed for for putting forward a motion and so on. This is, as Jay Scott also mentioned, this is the outcome, the very last outcome of this team here right now. As it is, it was discussed, we can put forward it to the next level then afterwards, after revising it. That means to the council and then rediscuss it about what to do. But really, so we have heard all the arguments and we have also discussed it in the group, and that's it at the time being. Avi, please.
Thank you. I want to just put a couple things on the record since we're putting all kinds of things on the record. First of all, the deferral that is the celebrated cause of this whole issue was because some people didn't feel that the process was complete, not for any of the other things that people may be assuming. Second, the first proposal I put in was that this practice originated before we had the requirement for motions to be made 9, 10, however many days in advance they are. This was a hangover from a day when a motion could be put on the table the day of the meeting. So at that point, there was certainly a reason for the courtesy to the constituencies and stakeholder groups. So my first suggestion was that we eliminate the practice completely. Of course, various people said that 8 or 9 days is not sufficient for a constituency or stakeholder group to digest something and make up a mind. So therefore, so the next thing I did was put in probably a several page set of rules that we could create to make this thing fair and cover all the cases. And of course, that was overkill. So all things being equal, this is a compromise that we got to because we can't agree on not needing it anymore. We can't agree on a complex set of rules that covers everything. And eventually the GNSO rulebook will fill a shelf. I mean, we're moving that way. And we will need lawyers just to interpret the GNSO rules. Hey, we already have them. And I think the last part of this is sort of stepping into sort of the vice chair role, is this is, you know, and I think modifying it with negative is great. This is the recommendation of the response to the GNSO. The G Council can come back to us and say, you failed. Think again.
Right. And I just want to say, as the author of this language, I accept the negative as a friendly amendment and have absolutely no problem with that whatsoever. It's not been added, but if there's no strong objection to that from the rest of the group, I would like to see that added, because it has been requested, and I think it adds to the language.
Yeah, thank you. I would suggest that we really take this text, revise it a bit, and I would like to ask you, Jay Scott, because you also came up with a text and put it on our list, with that revision, and then we have a last round on that, and then, we should think about that, how we should deal with that. Should we just put forward that to the council and saying that is how we see that situation? Or should we have other proposals for that, going more in depth in that? But that's a further step then. So I would just to propose that and then end this item here with having that. Yeah, Jay Scott, do you have a timeline? Can you tell us when you around?
If I can find the language in my email box, I'll do it today.
Okay, good. Thank you. So we have some other points on the agenda. And the very last point was I put on the agenda was SCI leadership election, which I thought we have some 10 minutes at the end to discuss about that. So it seems to me right now we have just a quarter of an hour for the rest of the working team here, time here today. So let's go to that point, voting thresholds for delaying a PDP. There was also a language proposed and put to the list by Marika. I would like to refer to Marika. Just highlight the points we are.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think the language up here is a language that has been circulated a couple of times already to the mailing list with the request for input. I think we did make a little change to the footnote based on the discussion we had on the last meeting. I think that was on the suggestion of Avery, so we added to the footnote that a mere change in milestones or schedule of the PDP is not considered a suspension. So basically this would be, and it's on the screen, it would be a modification of the language that's currently in the PDP manual, which is part of the GNSO operating procedures, to basically modify the section that deals with currently with the termination of a PDP, that it would also apply to a suspension of a PDP. So in cases where the GNSO Council says, well, we have initiated a PDP, but for one of these reasons, either there's a deadlock or there's a change of circumstances or a lack of community volunteers, the GNSO Council may decide to suspend the PDP, so completely halt any activity on the PDP, and the voting threshold that's associated with that would be, I think, a supermajority vote. So I think this is the latest language that we have. And I said on the last meeting we made a small modification to the footnote. I don't think I've seen any other comments on the mailing list. I think we're at the stage here that if there are no further objections or comments on this, this would need to go out for public comment, because it concerns a change to the operating procedure, so there's a public comment period required before the GNSO Council can adopt it and implement it, provided they would agree with the suggested change.
Yes, thank you, Marika. Any further comments to that language? If not, the only question is then how to do that? What is next step? Is that the SCI could put it, or you, or staff is going to put it to the public comment list, or have you go to the council?
Yeah, this is Marika. I think what we did last time, and we had a discussion at that stage with the GNSO Council about it, whether they felt they needed to put it out or whether they were comfortable with the SCI putting it out. And I think at that stage they were fine with the SCI just putting it out. So if
okay.
Right, so if there's agreement, I can just go ahead and put it out for public comment, and then when we have the comments, we'll come back to the SCI to review and see if any changes are needed, and then it would go to the GNSO Council. That's what we did with the previous round of changes.
Okay, well, what is the timeline for public comment? How many days?
It's still the 21 plus 21.
Okay, so I see agreement on that, so go ahead, and then we can put it to that. Okay, thank you. Next item is raising an issue. That was the question, who can bring up an issue to the SCI here? What the SCI is going to deal with it? Is it just the GNSO Council or a group chartered by the GNSO Council? Or should that be widened to the possibility for other ICANN SOs and ACs, which is an option number two, and which would need a change, an amendment to the SCI charter, and would need also GNSO approval, or a third option. Could we allow any ICANN chartered group to come up with requests directly to the SCI, which also would need approval by the GNSO Council and amendment of the SCI charter? So that were the three options we put to the table. So far, there was just, to my mind, one member raised his being in favor for option one. That was Ron Endorf. That means, okay, if he was of the opinion, so if the other options are that complicated, that means amendment of charters and approval by the GNSO of council, then let's do it with the status quo as we have, which means the GNSO Council or a group chartered by the GNSO Council can request an item to be reviewed by the SCI. So that was one voice expressed here. Any other comments? Anybody in favor of any of that, those options, or having a fourth option, or what else? Mary, please.
Thanks, Wolf, and I just wanted to apologize to the group and the council because the action item that we had discussed in the SCI actually fell to me, and I have not gotten around to drafting the letter to the GNSO council. I think one of for the benefit of those in the room who are not part of that discussion was that the SCI, I think, was of the opinion that we should also seek the guidance from the council as to what exactly was meant by the language in the SCI charter. And so, Wolf, my question to you is that given that a lot of the SCI work to date has focused on the deferral issue for good reason, whether we should just go on and proceed with the request to the council because very few members on the team or the community have come back on this particular issue.
Good idea. The question to me is just being practical. I mean, since the draft charter, the charter was drafted by this group. It was approved by the GNSO Council, as usual, it had to be approved by the GNSO Council. Maybe we can get some broader idea about that, and I wouldn't like to hinder that. But so that is just my question. So whether this way is practically, but we can do that. So we can ask them, and after one meeting, they should come up with any. Or we can discuss it on council as well. We can bring it up and ask for an explanation what was behind. But I expect, well, that they more or less will refer to the groups themselves who chartered that. Any other comment? Is there any... Well, how shall I understand this? No comment. Shall I understand it that we should go to the council, refer to the council, asking what the council meant with the charter? Avi, please.
I think my no comment means just leave it with the status quo as defined there. And if there are questions, then the G Council can come back and say, oops, that's not what we meant. But I believe that what is in one defines the status quo, and I think that when I'm supporting the status quo, I should just keep my mouth shut, unless somebody asks.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Avi. Any more comment? No. Mary, please.
I think in this case, then, given that I don't think there's a particular urgency on this point, may I suggest that for the next meeting of the SCI, we do a vote or however we want to do it, as the first agenda item, and if it's maintained the status quo on consensus, then that's what we would go back to the council with.
Yeah, Chase Court.
Avery will remember this is how I did it when I was chair of the... I think the easiest thing to do is to put it on the list and say if you have any objection to speak up, and then give a time, like you have 5 days to this, which is end of business, and specify the date and the time and time zone so that people will understand. And then you consider silence as ascension, and then you pass it on to the council. Because you get to the call, we probably won't have enough people that it would always look suspicious. So it's just best to put it to the list where everybody has an opportunity. You know everybody got it. And you ask them to raise any objections, and when there's silence by the deadline, you pass it on to the council. I just make that suggestion.
Works for me.
Okay, thank you, Mary. So just to explain, in addition, well, we inserted that we would like also to kind of make outreach to other SOs and SAC individuals that if there is something they have in mind to come up here with, which refers to the SCI, so they have a way, they could go through their chartered organization and then to the council, so there is a way to go there. Okay, then I understand. So we put that on the list, is option one, and asking for comment, objection on this one, and then we'll see what's going to happen. Thank you. Where we are. Right now, so we have still 5 minutes, and I would come to that working group survey, which we have deferred and deferred and deferred because we were discussing deferrals. just to give as an update or briefing us briefly, Marika, so on that, what is it about, and then maybe we could work on the list as well.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think this is something that we started discussing some time ago. Basically, the idea behind this is to get input from GNSO working groups on how they experience the GNSO working group guidelines, and eventually probably as well the PDP manual that has been developed, to get some input on you know, are there any issues that they encounter, or, you know, are they being found useful, are there any elements that are missing. So based on that, the staff made a first draft of that survey, which I think you see up on the screen, and I can just briefly scroll through it. I said this was sent as well to the mailing list with a bit of an indication of what kind of questions we might want to consider asking. There's some questions here in Redline. We added a couple of suggestions, I think, based on suggestions from another staff member, actually. And basically, the question is for the SAI, are there any other questions that would need to be added? Do you think this will be useful? Once we finalize this, how do we use this? Do we send this to working groups that, you know, have completed their activities, and as part of their, you know, closing, we send them the survey, or is it just something we send out to all the active working groups and drafting teams for their input? And I think that's basically the question or where we're at the moment.
Thanks, Marika. How many questions do we have?
Let me scroll down. 13.
Oh, could it be 12 or 14? Okay. 13 is good. Okay, we have the 13 today.
And I think the idea would be to put this in a kind of a survey tool like, you know, Zoomerang or SurveyMonkey, to make it really easy just to clicking yes or no and okay. Having some open questions.
Okay, thank you. There are not too many questions. Well, so and I would like, before I come back to you, I would like to ask you, well, really, so we put it directly after this meeting to the list again. So, and really, I would like to ask you, that is one major point, we are going to deal with that, and that you are going to read that, comment on the questions, and feedback to Marika with that. That would be a first step to do so. Please, who was first? Avi or Jessica, please.
My only comment would be, when we send it out, I would also like probably to get ALAC's view, because I think that Cheryl has used this in the ALAC, and even though it's not a working group, it shows the applicability of those rules to a group that, so if we could include them in the survey, I think that would provide us useful information.
I'll be first, and then, okay, please, Ellen.
I was just going to comment, it'll go there whether you ask or not.
Okay, so we have an agreement to do so? Yes. Thank you very much. We still have one item left.
Excuse me, this is the operator. We're not hearing you again.
We are still in the SCI meeting here. So we have, well, it needs to end in 3 minutes, yes. Now, we have one point which we should start to discuss about, the SCI leadership. There's nothing in the charter that of the duration, how long a chair and vice chair should be appointed, for which period of time, but as I understood Ari and myself as well, we love the change. We have worked on the SCI, I think, for 2 years. Yes, for 2 years. A 2-year term is normally that what on GNSO normal time to work on what, and then to redefine the review and think about the leadership. So I would like to start that process, and the question is how we should deal with that. Should we? I would say that you should think from the SCI point of view. You should also discuss that with your respective constituencies, and the members, and then the alternate members, whether you or whoever could think about, well, to do this job. For example, I see here our two candidates, Jonathan and Thomas here. That's just an example. So one of them will lose, definitely. So what to do with his time? So then afterwards that. So I'm sorry about that. No one is a loser. I'm sorry that you can win. The winner is that who can win the SCI chair, for example. Okay, just an example. Okay, let's start with...
Can I just correct you, Wolf? Actually, in this election, the winner loses.
Thanks for this. Okay. Good. So so I would like to end the meeting, and we will start this discussion in the next meeting in the SEI. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah. Operator, please, and the... What else? Transcription and,
And
recording.
Let's just say the session is over.
The session is over.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wolf. Thank you to the SCI committee members. The GNSO councillors are in the room and not yet seated. Please take their seats at the table, and we'll start our weekend working sessions with a brainstorming session in 1 minute, please. Thank you very much.